I'll bring this up about negotiating through the media and through the in a second, because I'm curious what your thoughts are on that, Jeff. But Cleveland.com, their headline, Mayor Justin Bibb goes public with $461 million taxpayer-funded offer to renovate Brown Stadium and ask the Haslams to respond by August 12th. The clock is ticking, folks. I mean, we already knew this going into it. There was one piece that I totally caught here as this, because one of the issues that's always kind of gone back and forth between the Browns and the city is, you know, the Browns are one of the few teams in the NFL that don't own their own parking. And in this negotiating, in the city side of it, in reading the Cleveland.com article, there's some things here about how to pay for what's going on. And then Bibb put out a press release, and he laid out his offer to the Browns, and he gave us the letter. So that's where we're getting this from. And he said in the offer, according to the press release, here we go, that'll amount to $461 million in city subsidies that include $367 million, $227 million from an increase in admissions tax revenues, $120 million from Cuyahoga County sin tax revenues, $20 million from an existing stadium capital's reserve, over a 30-year lease term with a five-year renewable option. This is super interesting because everything that Daryl's been saying so far, and I can't wait to talk to Daryl about this because he's convinced the Muni lot's going away, that he said the city will then turn the Willard Garage and the Muni lot over to the Browns for exclusive use on game days and event days. Parking revenues are expected to generate $94 million for capital repairs and improvement. Under the current lease, the city covers $1.3 million in annual property taxes and insurance, while the Browns pay $250,000 in rent.
All right, so let me draw one conclusion from
let
this.
Just let me update this one All more right. thing. So All that right. that's what they're doing now. Under the proposed new lease, rent will be waived for the Browns, but they'll have to assume the responsibility for insurance and tax payments. This adjustment aligns with their lease agreements that they use with the Guardians and Cavs, making it consistent across all the sports franchises. Cleveland, I get that. That makes sense. Okay.
I think the mayor is doing what he is supposed to do as the mayor of Cleveland, making a legit attempt to try and keep the Browns in the city limits. If it's a 30-year lease and they're sinking all this money into this now, you know, this is the team's package, and 30-year lease. So how many more times are we going to have to renovate it? Over the 30 years, at least one other time. Another 15 years, we're going to be talking about doing it again. Really? Really?
Well, are we going to be talking about doing that again at a dome too, though?
Yeah, except for one thing. That dome would be 15 years old. That dome wouldn't be 45 years old.
I big picture thought on this whole thing then. I'll give you my big picture thought here in a second.
I think the stadium is just an absolutely fine place right now to watch a football game. Unfortunately, that's not everything that there is to an NFL stadium these days. I mean, seriously, have you been to a game at the stadium? It's a great place to watch a football game. It really is. I don't have any issues with it. I can go to the bathroom. I can go buy a hot dog. I can do whatever I want to do. Why? Because if I'm going to a game, I'm not sitting in the highbrow seats and spending big money. I'd be sitting in the press box, which is very functional. It all works. Everything works there. If Browns ownership wants to build a new stadium, okay, build one. If the city wants to renovate this one, I, for the life of me, don't understand why. I mean, it's okay. Why am I know you want to keep the Browns in the city on game days. I would think, Andy, the biggest thing for the Browns is that they train in Berea. And Berea gets a lot of tax money. You know, you really want to do something, build a whole new football facility downtown for the Browns. That might be something, but that's not going to happen.
But they also have, I mean, these agreements they have with Berea right now.
Well, exactly. That's yeah. I mean, that's not happening. But yeah. you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had enough of the stadium on the lakefront. You know, I've watched this for a long time, and all I've kept hearing forever is lakefront development, lakefront development. Well, there's been a stadium sitting there in the way that we use now 12 times a year. That's it. When we had a baseball stadium that we used 95 times a year between baseball and football. Well, guess what? It got in the way of lakefront development. It didn't add to anything. Combine that with the airport, and if you really want to develop the lakefront, stadium just gets in the way. I'm sorry. It's 10 times a year, and it takes up way too much space.
Here's my overall thought on this thing, okay? I agree with you. It's not a bad place to play a football game. I don't have any problem with that.
It's a fine stadium.
I also understand the advantages of wanting home field advantage during cold weather because that's what we do around here.
How many guys are from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio?
I'm not debating any of these things with you. I'm just telling
you. There's no home field advantage in cold weather.
There is home field advantage.
Not because of the weather.
Well, I think you can adjust a little bit quicker if you're practicing in it all year, but you got to stay outside and practice at Berea.
They go inside. I was going to say, they go inside Berea.
But they don't. They don't always go inside because they do want to get acclimated. Look, you know as well as I know, my biggest issue with the stadium is that we only use it 12 times a year. And it just seems like a lot of money to spend on a building that they're saying isn't up. You said it. It was outdated 5 years in. If you're not going to put a roof or a retractable roof on the thing and you're only using it 12 times a year, is it worth it? Wouldn't you rather have a building that you're able to use more than a couple of Billy Joel concerts and some football games?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think to me that, again, if you're doing that, you're bringing more money into the town, whether it's in Brook Park, which is a stone's throw from Cleveland, or whether you're in Cleveland. I just think that when I look at this story, and I'm kind of just digesting it as we're all taking it in today, Mayor Bibb doesn't want to be the mayor that lost the Browns to Brook Park.
Is that really losing the Browns?
No, I don't. And that's why I think this is great.
I agree with you.
I don't think it is. And I do think from a political standpoint on this, I don't blame Justin Bibb for wanting to be that guy. To say, hey, I don't want to be the guy that was sitting mayor when the Browns decided to move to a suburb. But my other point on this is that now he has put down and said, look, I'm coming up with something. I'm trying to keep this team downtown. I get it. I understand it. And if the Haslams don't respond by August 12th, then this is all on the Haslams. And we tried the best we could. Because I saw, like last week when you saw the story about Bedrock and the commitment that the city has with Dan Gilbert's group and the whole, and that they want to develop over there where they've also got that land that was also granted the rights to have a casino down there too. They want to do all that development beyond what they're talking about this unbelievable world-class athletic facility that they're going to put down there with training, which to me just blows my mind away, which I think is great. And I love the fact that the mayor and Dan Gilbert and Bedrock have a plan for down there, whether it comes to fruition or not. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. So, again, I'm looking at that, and I'm going, way to go, Mayor Bibb, on that. But I do think maybe it's time for the Browns to let go of that lakefront spot. And please, just get them in a place where we can use a facility more than 10 to 12 times a year.
I want to read something to you from this letter. I feel like we were cheating here. The mayor put out this letter because it says, Dear Jimmy and Dee.
Oh, okay.
I mean, why are we reading this?
They released it.
I know.
Again, this comes back to what I said to you right when we started the segment. Now we're using the media to negotiate. Both sides.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Without question.
I mean, even on the other side of this thing, when your general manager says, I'm kind of pro-dome, now you're negotiating through the media.
Yeah.
Whether he meant to do that or not, you are.
Let me read this one paragraph. This is from paragraph four. This not all of it. The mayor says to Jimmy and Dee, the Browns leaving Cleveland would be detrimental to businesses within Cleveland and throughout Cuyahoga County, and the magnitude of the project would cost taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars more when our region has so many other critical needs. A strong Cleveland is a strong Northeast Ohio. Hard to argue with that.
I agree with that.
Except for this.
I agree. A strong Cleveland is a strong Northeast Ohio. Yes.
Does putting a big dome stadium and a big complex and everything else in Cuyahoga County hurt Cleveland? I think that helps Cleveland. I mean, if that area out in Brook Park gets developed and there's all kinds of stuff, where are those people going to stay?
Where are they landing? Right, in the city-owned airport right next door.
And where are they going to? They're going to hop in their Ubers, and they're going to come to downtown Cleveland and stay in those hotels.
Jeff, last week during that national,
they're going to come downtown and
eat dinner. As crazy as that national convention was last week, that every superstar in the world was out at the IX Center last week.
Where did they stay? They stay in Brook Park, or they come downtown?
No, they were staying downtown.
Thank you.
Now, I will say that if you do get a new stadium out there, you're going to get more hotels out there too.
Okay. But you're also
A regional bed tax,
you're also going to fill. See, that's it's not just Cleveland. I think we look at things sometimes so much so that it's Cleveland. No, it's an entire region. You know what I mean? It's an entire region.
Here's my point.
And I don't think Cleveland gets hurt if a fabulous new facility is out at the airport. I think Cleveland gets a big boost from that.
I do too, and I'll give you a case in point, right?
More so than an open-air stadium sitting on the lake that we use 10 times a year.
Are you trying to tell me that anyone that comes to town for a Browns football game is eating dinner downtown? They're not going to Little Italy, which is probably about as far as Brook Park from the stadium? They're not going to Ohio City? They're not going to Tremont to eat? That's not
Andy,
downtown.
Andy, forgive
me. Those are all in Cleveland.
They're not going to Independence so that they don't have to put up with the traffic downtown. Well, let's keep that in mind. You know, some people don't want to do that. Hey, I'm getting out of town. I'm gonna go hang out on Rockside and go to a restaurant there. Region. It's a region.
I don't know. So here's the point again, and we're going to get Daryl Ryder on here as soon as we can. Mayor Justin
1220 for Daryl, right?
Is that what it is? 1220 for Daryl? Okay, good. Daryl's going to join us here in just a few moments. Good. I can't wait. I'm telling you, Daryl's been on top of this whole thing. The parking thing as a part of the proposal, I think, is interesting. I look at this and I say, bravo, Mayor Bibb, for making a run and pleading and trying to get a case to the Browns.
And he has to.
To stay in Cleveland. Like, I get you. And so I'm never going to turn around and think 20 years from now, if the Browns move out to Brook Park, that, this isn't Mike White, guys. This isn't Governor Voinovich. We're not losing the Browns to Baltimore. You're losing it to a spot that you can stand at and see downtown Cleveland from, especially when you add buildings like Sherwin-Williams that you can. It's in the skyline of Cleveland. It's like when we say losing the city of Cleveland, it just doesn't feel that same way. And there are still plenty of benefits for the city of Cleveland on that. Go ahead.
Well, and one of the lines that I thought that stuck out to me was on the second page of the, you know, press release that they put out there, where it says, "We hope you continue to choose the success we are experiencing on our waterfronts, preservation over new construction, and support Cleveland and Cuyahoga County's best interests." Again, like what Jeff was saying, is that not Cuyahoga County that's still experiencing that same
success? Yeah, I don't see how the county argument here is just kind of convoluted. But that's all right. Daryl Ryder is going to join us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Daryl Ryder is our Browns beat reporter. He's with the team at Greenbrier in West Virginia, and he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Daryl, you have been all over this story since the beginning of the story. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't think it's going to get it done. Not with a 30-year lease. I don't know that funding is going to be sufficient enough to extend the life of that building another 30 years. The people that I talk to have told me that a renovation to Cleveland Browns Stadium would add anywhere from 10, 15, maybe 20 years of life to that building. I think that going for a 30-year lease extension, I'm not convinced that the funding the mayor is proposing is going to be sufficient enough. Is it sufficient enough to complete the renovation that the Browns have proposed? Potentially, assuming that the Browns receive the commitment that they're looking for from the state of Ohio as well as Cuyahoga County, you're looking at a $1.2 billion project with the city finding funding for about $461 million of that. So there's a sizable chunk of change that still needs to get filled in. Now, keep in mind, the Browns have offered to cover 50% of that cost. I did find interesting in the mayor's proposal turning the Willard Garage and the Muni Lot revenue over to the Browns on game day to help cover the capital repairs associated with the stadium. So that's not additional revenue that's going into the Browns' pocket. That is just basically a funding mechanism for these renovations. So I have reached out to the Browns. I have not received any comment. Obviously, it has been a very busy day here at the Greenbrier with the events that happened involving running back Dante Foreman. So their thoughts are obviously with him right now, but I do expect to hear from the Browns at some point regarding this proposal from Mayor Bibb.
Darrell, don't you think this is something the mayor just kind of had to do to say, bottom line, hey, I gave it my best shot and we tried to keep the team and the ownership wants to build this dome?
Well, yeah, and the other part of this, Jeff, is the fact that he wants an answer in the by the middle of August. So it's, what, 2 weeks away, just off the top of my head? Okay, so it's less than 2 weeks away. He's looking for a yay or nay from the Browns. And I can tell you this, the timeline now is starting to move, okay? They are getting closer to making a final decision about whether or not to renovate that stadium or to move forward with the Brook Park Dome. They have been expecting, I can tell you this from the mayor, maybe not so much the details, but they had been expecting a proposal from the mayor as far as what the city of Cleveland would be able to do regarding that stadium. The mayor certainly accomplishes his goal of not dipping into the general fund, not adding any tax revenue to the mix here, right? Any additional tax revenue, I should say, to the mix is a funding mechanism and whatnot. So, and the mayor made it very clear in his statement this morning that this was his ultimate goal. He did not want to add any further tax burden to Cleveland residents to fund stadium construction within the city. So he accomplished his goal. I just don't know if this proposal is going to be sufficient enough. But again, I can tell you, I expect this stadium situation to move very quickly here in the next couple of weeks with the Browns making their final decision and then ultimately beginning the process of moving forward to get whatever they decide to do funded so then they can really begin the planning process for actual construction to begin.
Darrell, I thought that was interesting that you saw that the garage part of it and the Muni lot, because I thought that part of this whole renovation of, you know, the lakefront even would include getting rid of the Muni lot that we've talked about on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, where you've just said it's gone, man. That Muni lot's going to be history.
Yeah, that is an interesting twist to this whole thing, because when you looked at all the proposals that were out there from the city as far as lakefront renovation goes, both the North Shore lot, the West Third lot, the Muni lot, all of that was set for development of some sort. So this is a new development. The fact that they are, the Muni lot apparently is now going to stay in play. Now, that's not to say that they don't find a way to maybe add a little development around that Muni lot, but again, all of those proposals and whatnot that I have seen, some of the renderings that the city has put out there regarding lakefront development. Yeah, the Muni lot had buildings in it. The Muni lot wasn't there. There were buildings and parks and all those type of things. So that is certainly an interesting new development. Another thing, though, that I think it's important to point out here, that let's, and this is an important detail for the Browns, do they want the lakefront and the area around the stadium? Because obviously one of the concerns is, getting in and out of that place, right? The timeline is for a renovation to have that all done and ready to go by the preseason in August 2029, right? The lakefront's not going to be done by then. The lakefront is going to be a construction zone for the next 10 to 15 years. So do the Browns, that's the other tentacle to this, not just the financial components, not just the overall scope of the project, but the surrounding areas, right? And, that's just the reality. That lakefront is going to be under construction for the next 10 to 15 years with the city of Cleveland, assuming they actually move forward with some sort of lakefront development. And is that something that the Browns want to even entertain and deal with? Remains to be seen.
Daryl, I have two thoughts for you here. I mentioned the 30-year lease before you joined us. I couldn't agree with you more on that. That makes no sense. If that were the case, by the time that lease is up, that stadium will be 55 years old. And the old place that we thought was just terrible was 64 years old when it closed. So, I mean, so that's one thing. Is this a possibility? Remember the Bears bought the racetrack out in Arlington Heights, and they bought their own land, and hey, it's our way of twisting, and we're going to build our own thing out here. And the city of Chicago wanted to renovate Soldier Field and everything else. Well, what happened? The Bears decided we're going to move downtown and we're going to build a new stadium near Soldier Field and stay downtown. Is it possible that the city and the Browns agree to build what the Browns want in Brook Park in downtown Cleveland, and then the Haslams just either don't follow through on the options that they have to buy all that land, or if they've already owned it, and I don't know if it's finalized, they just sell it or redevelop it. Could that whole project end up downtown?
No, there's nowhere to put it. That's the land acquisition is far too complex. I can tell you that they have explored that option, okay? And that's ultimately what led them back to the Brook Park site. There's nowhere to build downtown.
I drive out Opportunity Corridor, Daryl. There looks like an awful lot of land that could be put to better use.
You might want to talk to the clinic.
That Opportunity Corridor, that's not downtown Cleveland, though, Jeff.
Well, it's in the city limits, though, Daryl.
Yeah, this is the other part of it, too. And
one way to get there.
Yeah,
there's only one freeway, 77. So,
well, there's only one road to get to the stadium, East 9th.
Well, it's marginal, actually. Western. That's the only way to get in there. The other thought that I always had, and again, I think this is kind of off the grid for what's going on today, but why couldn't Brook Park and Cleveland do another land swap like they did with the IX Center? I mean, if you're worried about these lines of what's Brook Park, what's Cleveland, I don't know. It seems like it's too much politics to get it done at this point, but that could possibly be on the table too. Like, I still have concerns how is Brook Park going to, you know, have what they need the way the city of Cleveland has to be able to run a game, you know, police-wise, paramedic, all those
tax
things.
Tax revenue.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bend the line.
Yeah, I'm not the mayor of either of those cities, and don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, feasible at this point to maybe undo that land swap from, what was it, 20, 25 years ago when they actually swapped the Ford plant for the IX Center, and ultimately that ended up being not such a great move for Cleveland.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that right now where they're at, like, this ball's starting to roll down the mountain. Okay.
So this is moving quick now. Now it's going to move quick.
Yeah. Yeah. If the mayor's looking for a decision by the middle of August, we could have a decision within the next 2 weeks. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen, but if that's what the mayor has requested from the Browns, you know, it stands to reason, right? So that, you know, maybe we do have a decision and a project to move forward with by September.
I just, the feeling I get from all of this information that's coming out today is the city is doing its due diligence, but right. I mean, the 30-year part of it makes you say, yeah, you know what this seems like? This seems like the Indians trying to negotiate with Jim Thome, knowing that Jim Thome had a gigantic contract, that there was no way, and maybe they were a little scared that if Thome would have said yes to the deal they gave them, that they were going to have to figure out a way to pay for it. This is what it feels like.
And keep in mind, the $461 million package is over 30 years, right? That's another component to this. And I don't know that that's going to be enough money to maintain that stadium for the next 30 years, right? Because, I mean, all these problems they have to fix as it is. So the city has done what the Browns were looking for. They've made their pitch. The ball right now is in the Browns' court. And like I said, as soon as I get a response from the team, I will certainly pass that on to folks.
Daryl, Deontay Foreman update. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so just one of the more awful scenes you'll ever see on a football field. And I'll be honest with you, I was pretty much right in front of it. And it looked like an innocent enough play to me. And then I noticed, you know, Foreman was sitting upright. A couple of trainers came over. They appeared to be having a conversation. Foreman was moving his arms, touched the back of his neck. That went on for about 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you could just see the Browns medical staff go into their emergency protocol mode. They immediately called for the cart. They got it out, got the board out, immobilized him, put him on the board. Kevin Stefanski was right there as all this was going on. J.W. Johnson was right there as all this was going on. And the next thing you know, they had him in an ambulance. And then right as practice was wrapping up, the medical helicopter arrived to take him to a medical center in Roanoke, Virginia. What I have been told is there's not any serious life-threatening concern. More so, that was the fastest. Roanoke is the closest medical facility to be able to handle what needs to be handled with this situation, and getting in there by helicopter was the fastest way to do that. So, expecting further updates as the day goes along. But the good news here is he was moving his extremities. That is a very positive thing. The team said he suffered a head-to-head blow on that particular play that caused him to experience neck pain, which then obviously triggered their emergency medical care protocols for him. But just one of those awful scenes. Right after practice ended, Kevin Stefanski gathered the team in the middle of the field. They all took a knee, held hands. They said a prayer for Foreman. Just a really awful scene. You never want to see a player carted off. You certainly never want to see a player have to be rushed to a medical center by helicopter.
Daryl, and just from your vision and what you saw, did something change after he was sitting up for a couple of minutes? Or did they, did his body change, or did they just decide, we better do this?
I think it was just based on the communication, you know, between Foreman and the medical staff there with the information he was relaying to them, that they ultimately, you know, went into that mode of, we have to get him immobilized and, you know, get him to a medical facility as quickly as possible to make sure that he's okay.
And again, they're going to go to medical extreme, right? They're gonna do everything possible. So, you know, making sure they got a helicopter in there, and they're not going to take any chances on anything, right? Protocol.
Right. Yes. It's just, this is just all part of the protocol. You know, obviously, if there was a hospital that had some of the things here in this area, they would have just taken him via ambulance. But because they had him, you know, Roanoke was the closest facility to be able to deal with whatever it is they need that medical facility to be able to deal with, they got him out there by helicopter.
All right, Daryl, just before we let you go, I just want to circle back one more time on this story. So, again, the news of the day is that the city of Cleveland now has a counter proposal to try to keep, or I guess a proposal. I don't know if it's a counter proposal.
It's the proposal to keep the Browns in Cleveland, correct.
Okay. And the general feeling of opinion from, I would say, I think we're kind of on the same page, that just it's because it's a 30-year deal, that might be some of the city of Cleveland saying, hey, we want to, but, you know, Daryl, we've talked about this before. Does the city of Cleveland really want to be in the landlord business, or is it time to, you know, move forward on that too?
Well, and also another component of this is the Browns would not pay rent in the building anymore. And I think they're paying $250,000 a year, which is, you know, a drop in the bucket there, but they would cover, I think it was taxes and insurance on the stadium as I guess you could call it their new rent obligation or whatever. Here's the thing. Again, what has been impressed upon me by folks that I have talked about specifically about that building is that it has a shelf life. That shelf life does not include 30 years, okay? The renovation that the Browns would like to do for $1.2 billion would extend the life of that building anywhere from 10 to 15, potentially 20 years. I don't know, and I don't have the confidence to tell you and Browns fans that what the mayor has proposed today will be sufficient enough to keep that building up and running for the next 30 years.
Daryl, as always, thank you very much. Excellent work. And, of course, updates on the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast that you've been doing great reports on, and we'll be hearing you throughout the day, and we'll be checking out all the information you're giving out there. So, Daryl, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You bet.
All right. He is Daryl Ryder. He's our Browns beat reporter, and he has been on top of all of this. I mean, for months, we've been talking about this on game day, like almost every other episode, about what's going on, even if it was just a little tidbit of information about what we're trying to find out as far as what's happening next with the stadium situation. And that's where we sit right now, trying to figure out what's next. I do think it's interesting that we are now talking about a timeline that the city wants to know by August 12th from the Haslams. And I think Daryl's right, Jeff, that this thing's going to start flying. So we're going to start feeling. But there's also funding issues. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with this. But we are finding out today a little bit more about what could happen and where the Browns could end up be playing. Will it be Brook Park? Will it be downtown Cleveland? Maybe we're going to get those answers a little bit faster than we thought. 216-474-0092. I want your feedback on this. I mean, you saw what the mayor put out there. We'll tell you more when we come back. Respond by August 12th, please.
Yeah.
But they said it in a nice way. Hang on. They said, we respectfully request a response by August 12th, 2024.
So in other words, check your closet, see if you have a tuxedo good to go, and if not, you know, well, you're not going to make it in time.
So the city has given an offer to the Browns about staying in downtown Cleveland and staying in the stadium.
Can I just say one thing?
You can say whatever you want. It's your show.
Do you see Justin Bibb's signature? That's the strangest looking signature I've ever seen.
Looks like a Mac Robinson special right there.
I don't see the B.
There's a J and a big long line and then two things that look kind of like M's.
Why do we have this?
Three dots.
Why do we have this?
I hate that we have this. We have a letter addressed to Jimmy and D. Haslam. Dear Jimmy and D. from the mayor. Okay. Here's the deal. The mayor, good. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You know, you've made a pitch. Think big picture here. Is the best thing for the city of Cleveland to sink money into this thing on the lakefront and a 30-year lease, and we're going to have it on the lakefront for 30 years after we've been hearing about lakefront development forever, and that stadium just sits there and is going to be used 10 days a year, maybe 15? Or is it better for all of Northeast Ohio, including the city of Cleveland, to build a beautiful new domed facility that we've never had here in town before, like Indianapolis has capitalized on like crazy with Lucas Oil and everything around it, and have it have a shelf life of 50 years instead of maybe 30, because it's a 30-year lease. Can you imagine what that thing's going to look like at the end of 30 years, even if you completely gut it? And rebuild it. And if you're going to gut it and rebuild it, well, then why bother on the lakefront? I understand the mayor wants them in the city limits. I understand that. Cleveland would benefit in a huge way by a complex like that on the edge of the city in Brook Park.
I thought it was interesting that you tell me, does this sound like a good deal? As a part of the deal, no more rent for the Browns, okay?
Well, Daryl said it was a quarter of a mil. Come on, man.
$250,000.
Yeah, great,
right?
Great.
But
that might pay for hot dogs.
In turn for that, instead of no more rent, they're now going to have to pay for taxes and insurance. Do you not think taxes and insurance are more than $250,000?
Oh, yeah.
So basically they're saying, hey, you know, you can pay more. Like, that's not a deal.
I don't.
That doesn't make me happy.
You told me the mayor's not trying to put the Haslams in a position to be bad guys here, is he? I don't think so.
Well, yeah, because in the end, if the Haslams decide they want to move to Brook Park, that means that they'll be saying to the mayor, respectfully, Mayor, we've decided to move. Then it becomes again to me. I read this as this is Mayor Bibb doing his due diligence, giving an offer to the Browns to say, "Hey, stay downtown," and then in saying and looking forward, because we all know politicians have to get reelected. It's his way of saying, you know, I did everything I possibly could to keep the Browns downtown, but they decided to leave. I didn't push them out.
Was Nick Mulledy considered an awful human being when he built the Coliseum in Richfield?
I was too young, but I probably don't think so. I don't remember that he was ever
considered a nasty human being because he built the Coliseum in Richfield and took the Cavaliers and a facility that was used hundreds of times a year out of the city of Cleveland.
It was before its time, if you think about it.
It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
He was not, to this day, he's considered an icon in the city of Cleveland. Not a bad guy. Then the city wanted the team back downtown and everything that went with an arena. And they got it, but they had to pay for it.
Joe is in Shaker Heights. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Joe.
Hi, guys. I'm fine. Interesting offer by Mayor Bibb. I think it's going to be received as weak by the Haslams, but maybe it's the first pass by Bibb. I think they ought to get
I think this is the only pass. They've got to get moving on this. I think
it's the
only pass.
Well, they've got to get moving, but I mean, the passes can go week to week, so I think there is time to do something. And I think, by the way, if Haslam wants to take another month, what's Bibb going to do? But I think they ought to get together and put it in the opportunity corridor. That's a good idea. But as far as the existing stadium, that is going to be the biggest white elephant in the United States if they can't make a deal with the Browns. They ought to just give the stadium to the Browns. It's worth $800 million to $1 billion. And the city's going to have to carry that for a very long time because a developer taking into account what he'd pay for it and the carry and the remediation, the realizable rents on that thing when the stadium is torn down is going to be like a combination of Dubai, New York City, and Las Vegas. So the mayor should just give them the stadium, whether it's worth $800 million or $1 billion, and say, take it, we want you here, take the whole thing. Otherwise, that thing's going to be fallow for years.
They're going to end up, they'll tear it down.
They'll tear it down, and what'll they have? They'll have a site that's got to be remediated, a site that if they want to sell it, the developer's going to have to factor in all of that and charge realizable rents that he won't be able to get.
Joe, that's interesting.
Thanks, Joe. What's your take on that?
I think it's interesting. I mean, think about the money that would have to be invested to tear that down, and even if you don't put a stadium on it to develop it. I mean, you've got the parking lot down below where the port is and everything else. I mean, it's primo property, but you'd have to repurpose so much stuff there. I mean, we can all envision what it could possibly be.
Right.
But man, the money that would be involved in that, we've all been down this road many, many times. You know, even going back to, if anybody else remembers where Gateway sits now, anybody else remember
the market?
The market, and then the signs that were up when they tore down the market, and it said, future site of Cleveland's domed stadium.
Right.
Do you remember those signs?
Yeah, I have video of it. I did a story on it.
Yeah, they were up all over the place. And, you know, things changed. Well, thank God they did. We have a beautiful ballpark, a beautiful arena. I think a dome stadium there wouldn't have been as nice as what we have now.
It probably would have been the Silverdome.
And we would already be looking to replace it.
Yeah.
You know, but I do not understand. And maybe it's because I did not grow up in the city of Cleveland. You know, you grew up real close to the city of Cleveland. I grew up in Summit County. To me, it's always been a region. And a beautiful facility in Brook Park, to me, enhances the region. And I have driven out Opportunity Corridor, Andy. And yeah, the clinic's at the end of it. And what's in between? A whole lot of stuff that looks like you could put a beautiful dome facility in there and shopping and develop the whole thing and take a part of Cleveland that could use a new look and give it a new look. And I know what Daryl said, and I really appreciate his expertise on this because
that
he's all over.
That new look, though, is coming already. Like, I drive Cedar almost every day.
Okay.
Well, it's already there. Okay, they're already moving on that.
If not there, we have other land in town that could use a facelift. All right? We've talked caddy corner from the ballpark forever. Right?
Well, that looks like that's going to be soccer stadiums.
What would you rather have there?
I'm not saying.
A soccer stadium, but
if the soccer stadium has already made progress towards moving and we're looking at these MLS next teams and the women's team, if that's already there and it's moving and the development's
you don't think the city and the Cleveland Browns could twist an arm and write a check?
Josh is in Grand River. Hi, Josh.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Josh.
So I want to recall back to when they were proposing land for the stadium when they first originally built it. If I can remember right, they wanted to put the stadium, I believe one of the land plots was where the Harvard Highlands are now, where the Hallujah Medical Center is. And
You're talking about, yeah, where the golf course is.
Way out on the east side?
Yeah.
The driving range?
Which I think would be another, but yeah, right, you'd be bordering right up against Shaker, Warrensville, right there. Yep.
So when they had that proposition, it had everybody up in arms, like, oh, you're taking the team away from downtown Cleveland. And I could get why people are upset. I could get why the mayor is saying it's going to be a loss in revenue for the businesses, for the restaurants, for the people that work in the service industry around the city of downtown. I can understand that being a loss. My thing is, what land do we have right now in downtown? Like, we have stuff that's catty corner to the ballpark, but what about where the old Sherwin-Williams headquarters is? What are they going to do with that land? Can we develop that land and come to an agreement and put the stadium down there and it be, you know, down the street from the ballpark and the field house?
Josh, all right, stay tuned. I'm going to give you another thought on what you're thinking there. I just think we're sitting here trying to run on a treadmill and come up with other places in town when I don't think that's the reality of this whole conversation. I will give you another spot that I've thought about before, too. We'll do that when we come back. 216-474-0092+. We're going to get into the Guardians in the next hour. Baskin and Phelps right here. 92.3 The Fan. Respond by August 12th, please.
Yeah.
But they said it in a nice way. Hang on. They said, we respectfully request a response by August 12, 2024.
So in other words, check your closet, see if you have a tuxedo good to go, and if not, you know, well, you're not going to make it in time.
So the city has given an offer to the Browns about staying in downtown Cleveland and staying in the stadium.
Can I just say one thing?
You can say whatever you want. It's your show.
Do you see Justin Bibb's signature? That's the strangest looking signature I've ever seen.
Looks like a Mac Robinson special right there.
I don't see the B.
There's a J and a big long line, and then two things that look kind of like M's.
Why do we have this?
Three dots.
Why do we have this?
I hate that we have this. We have a letter addressed to Jimmy and Dee Haslam. Dear Jimmy and Dee, from the mayor. Okay. Here's the deal. The mayor, good, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You know, you've made a pitch. Think big picture here. Is the best thing for the city of Cleveland to sink money into this thing on the lakefront and a 30-year lease, and we're going to have it on the lakefront for 30 years after we've been hearing about lakefront development forever, and that stadium just sits there and is going to be used 10 days a year, maybe 15? Or is it better for all of Northeast Ohio, including the city of Cleveland, to build a beautiful new domed facility that we've never had here in town before, like Indianapolis has capitalized on like crazy with Lucas Oil and everything around it, and have it have a shelf life of 50 years instead of maybe 30, because it's a 30-year lease. Can you imagine what that thing's going to look like at the end of 30 years, even if you completely gut it and rebuild it? And if you're going to gut it and rebuild it, well, then why bother on the lakefront? I understand the mayor wants them in the city limits. I understand that. Cleveland would benefit in a huge way by a complex like that on the edge of the city in Brook Park.
I thought it was interesting that you tell me, does this sound like a good deal? As a part of the deal, no more rent for the Browns, okay?
Well, Daryl said it was a quarter of a mil. Come on, man.
$250,000.
Yeah, great. Right? Great.
But
that might pay for the hot dogs.
In turn for that, instead of no more rent, they're now going to have to pay for taxes and insurance. Do you not think taxes and insurance are more than $250,000?
Oh, yeah.
So basically they're saying, hey, you know, you can pay more. Like that's not a deal.
I don't
That doesn't make me happy.
You told me. The mayor's not trying to put the Haslams in a position to be bad guys here, is he? I don't think so.
Well, yeah, because in the end, if the Haslams decide they want to move to Brook Park, that means that they'll be saying to the mayor, respectfully, mayor, we've decided to move. Then it becomes, again, to me, I read this as, this is Mayor Bibb doing his due diligence, giving an offer to the Browns to say, hey, stay downtown. And then in saying and looking forward, because we all know politicians have to get reelected, it's his way of saying, you know, I did everything I possibly could to keep the Browns downtown, but they decided to leave. I didn't push them out.
Was Nick Mulledy considered an awful human being when he built the Coliseum in Richfield?
I was too young, but I probably don't think so.
I don't think he was ever considered a nasty human being. Because he built the Coliseum in Richfield and took the Cavaliers and a facility that was used hundreds of times a year out of the city of Cleveland.
It was before its time, if you think about it.
It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
He was not, to this day, he's considered an icon in the city of Cleveland. Not a bad guy. And no. Then the city wanted the team back downtown and everything that went with an arena. And, okay, they got it, but they had to pay for it.
Joe is in Shaker Heights. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Joe.
Hi, guys. I'm fine. Interesting offer by Mayor Bibb. I think it's going to be received as weak by the Haslams, but maybe it's the first pass by Bibb. I think they ought to get
I think this is the only pass. They've got to get moving on this. I think
it's
the only pass.
Well, they've got to get moving, yeah. But, I mean, the passes can go week to week, so I think there is time to do something. And I think, by the way, you know, if Haslam wants to take another month, what's Bibb going to do? But I think they ought to get together and put it in the opportunity corridor. That's a good idea. But as far as the existing stadium, that is going to be the biggest white elephant in the United States if they can't make a deal with the Browns. They ought to just give the stadium to the Browns. It's worth $800 million to $1 billion. And the city's going to have to carry that for a very long time, because a developer, taking into account what he'd pay for it and the carry and the remediation, the realizable rents on that thing when the stadium is torn down, is going to be like a combination of Dubai, New York City, and Las Vegas. So the mayor should just give them the stadium, whether it's worth $800 million or $1 billion, and say, take it, we want you here. Take the whole thing. Otherwise, that thing's going to be fallow for years.
They're going to end up, they'll tear it down.
They'll tear it down, and what'll they have? They'll have a site that's got to be remediated, a site that if they want to sell it, the developer's going to have to factor in all of that and charge realizable rents that he won't be able to get.
Joe, that's interesting.
Thanks, Joe. What's your take on that?
I think it's interesting. I mean, think about the money that would have to be invested to tear that down, and even if you don't put a stadium on it to develop it. I mean, you've got the parking lot down below where the port is and everything else. I mean, it's primo property, but you'd have to repurpose so much stuff there. I mean, we can all envision what it could possibly be.
Right.
But man, the money that would be involved in that. We've all been down this road many, many times. You know, even going back to, if anybody else remembers where Gateway sits now, anybody else remember?
Yeah, the market.
The market, and then the signs that were up when they tore down the market, and it said, future site of Cleveland's domed stadium.
Right.
Do you remember those signs?
Yeah, I have video of it. I did a story on it.
Yeah, they were up all over the place. And, you know, things changed. Well, thank God they did. We have a beautiful ballpark, a beautiful arena. I think a dome stadium there wouldn't have been as nice as what we have now.
It probably would have been the Silverdome.
And we would already be looking to replace it.
Yeah.
You know, but I do not understand. And maybe it's because I did not grow up in the city of Cleveland. You know, you grew up real close to the city of Cleveland. I grew up in Summit County. To me, it's always been a region. And a beautiful facility in Brook Park, to me, enhances the region. And I have driven out Opportunity Corridor, Andy. And, yeah, the clinic's at the end of it. And what's in between? A whole lot of stuff that looks like you could put a beautiful dome facility in there and shopping and develop the whole thing and take a part of Cleveland that could use a new look and give it a new look. And I know what Daryl said, and I really appreciate his expertise on this because
that
he's all over
though,
it.
That new look, though, is coming already. Like, I drive Cedar almost every day.
Okay.
Well, it's already there. Okay, they're already moving on that. Yeah.
If not there, we have other land in town that could use a facelift. All right? We've talked caddy corner from the ballpark forever. Right.
Well, that looks like that's going to be soccer stadiums.
What would you rather have there?
I'm not saying
a soccer stadium or.
But if the soccer stadium has already made progress towards moving and we're looking at these MLS next teams and the women's team, if that's already there and it's moving and the development's there,
you don't think the city and the Cleveland Browns could twist an arm and write a check?
Josh is in Grand River. Hi, Josh.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Josh.
So, I want to recall back to when they were proposing land for the stadium when they first originally built it. If I can remember right, they wanted to put the stadium, I believe one of the land plots was where the Harvard Highlands are now, where the Hallujah Medical Center is. And
you're talking about, yeah, where the golf course is.
Way out on the east side?
Yeah.
The driving range?
Which I think would be another. But yeah, you'd be bordering right up against Shaker or Warrensville right there. Yep.
So when they had that proposition, it had everybody up in arms. Like, oh, you're taking the team away from downtown Cleveland. And I could get why people are upset. I could get why the mayor is saying it's going to be a loss in revenue for the businesses, for the restaurants, for the people that work in the service industry around the city of downtown. I can understand that being a loss. My thing is, what land do we have right now in downtown? Like, we have stuff that's catty corner to the ballpark, but what about where the old Sherwin-Williams headquarters is? What are they going to do with that land? Can we develop that land and come to an agreement and put the stadium down there and it be, you know, down the street from the ballpark and the field house?
Josh, all right, stay tuned. I'm going to give you another thought on what you're thinking there. I just think we're sitting here trying to run on a treadmill and come up with other places in town when I don't think that's the reality of this whole conversation. I will give you another spot that I've thought about before, too. We'll do that when we come back. 216-474-0092+. We're going to get into the Guardians in the next hour. Baskin and Phelps right here. 92.3 The Fan.